is a different type of interview for me because the business I'm interviewing, I helped co-start it. And here we are, you know, sitting in, take us back a little bit when we sat in Karel's in Kroonstad. I think we were having a few drinks for that weekend.
You know, look, I think that that's very interesting how this business started because, as most of things do around friendships, it started with a party. You know, it was, we were sitting, and I think it was beer number 8.
Or whiskey number 19.
Or whiskey 19. Number 19 when Karel, which subsequently Karel is was the guy, as mentioned earlier, he's the current CEO of the Cernic Group. Cernic is the holding company for Country Meat. And Karel is a very reserved sort of person, and he always surprises you, if I put it that way. Yeah. So we were sitting there, and he was saying, "Yes, boys, I want to go show you something." And we got into his bucky, and I think about 2 minutes later, we were there.
Yeah.
It's Kroonstad. And then he said, look at this. And we were standing in front of the first Country Meat butcheries.
Yeah.
And it was just instantaneous. I don't know if you recall, but it was about 2 minutes later we said, this is going to Joburg. That's what's happening.
Two minutes. I think it started immediately in our, and I think we from there had Zoom focus.
Yes.
Now we wanted to. But do you remember also that it was in a time that there was this meat thing about donkey meat being in different types of boudevors, not knowing what goes into your meat? And I remember that night where we said, like, okay, you've got the farm, you've got the abattoir, and I think by then they had it for about 20 years or something like that. And we were like, well, you need to complete the value chain, and that value chain need to be shared with the rest of South Africa. And obviously being in Joburg, I think that was naturally our first comfort zone. And I remember even looking for places in our pajamas.
No, look, that started on that Monday when we were back.
I'm telling you, but you remember the same
thing? No, I remember
thing,
very clearly, you and your robe. I don't know what the hell's up with that. I think you were like pimp daddy. That started literally on Monday night. And as you said, the focus was immediately there. It wasn't something that, oh, shucks, it's going to take time, or we're going to ponder it. And it took time. Look, the one thing that we did well is I think we planned well in the sense of it must have taken us about a year before we opened our doors. So it wasn't something that we just jumped into in the sense of, We planned a lot. But
although the night before packing the shelves, it felt like we had just decided to open.
Yeah, to go. Yes, that's exactly it. So, yeah, it's funny. What's that saying? You don't know what you don't know.
The naivety.
The naivety. You know, we thought we knew, and we really didn't.
Yeah. We thought we planned.
We thought we planned.
Yeah.
We thought we planned.
But that's a good point. So a lot of people at the moment, I said to Tammy the other day, you know, pension funds are being released. A lot of people are going into early retirement. So I can see a massive amount of money being available for a while. And now people are going to start new businesses. And, you know, the butcheries was quite, and I don't think we realized it from the beginning, but it's quite a cash intensive business, especially to set up store and stock and et cetera. But a lot of companies are going to start. And I remember the first Saturday we opened up, was it the Saturday morning? We opened up the 16th or the 19th of January.
19th of January, yeah.
Then we turned something like 35 grand. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dad.
It was 36,000 rand, 36,400 rand.
Just
something
shows you,
along
just shows
lines,
you what yeah. keeps in our memory. Then on the Monday morning we turned 5.
No. No, we did 3,200.
I was going to say, for the first few months, we used to count. Every time we got to a 10,000, we were like, woo, yeah, master.
That's exactly it. Yeah. So now I don't think we did more than, in the first 3 months, we didn't do more than 10 grand a day. There's no chance. There's not even,
You know, when I go back to the original thinking, it was the farm, it was the abattoir, and it was the meat. And it was to ensure that there's a value chain that controls the input and the output of that particular product. And it was a great story to sell. I think we were definitely one of the first. I can't tell you exactly, except maybe a few factory shops. We were one of the first ones to really complete that value chain in its entirety. Entirety.
And I think have a shopping experience that wasn't what the traditional butchery experience had been, which was quite manly. The look and feel of it wasn't important. And that was definitely something I think Country Meat brought to the table for sure.
The big part of inflation at the moment is food inflation.
Yeah.
And why is there food inflation when the actual farm gate prices haven't changed? Mm. So what's changed? The logistics has changed.
Yeah.
Okay. The retail offices, the way that they house their corporate, the institutions, all the red tape around it,
becomes our problem.
It becomes our problem. Okay. Yeah. So I think for once we've figured out like the stuff that we wanted, the reasons why we started the business was to bring a phenomenal quality product at a better price because there's no middlemen.
Mm.
Okay. That was the idea. That 100%. Was to say, and I must be honest, we tried to, at the beginning, we masked a bit of our issues. We wanted to pass on the pricing but luckily most of those issues are non-issues anymore because now we know what we didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, so the value that we give with the quality that we give is exceptional. And for that reason, I think it's a no-brainer. It really is a no-brainer. And even, you know, what we've seen now with this lockdown with our restaurant in Linden, we are doing now, as of last night, we're doing 60% of our turnover that we did last year, July. I don't think there's one restaurant in the country that can say they're doing 60% of what they did last July.
No.
And the reason being is that's without alcohol. You know, alcohol is about 50% of our sales. So actually in food sales, we're up 10%.
Yeah.
And why? Because the quality is phenomenal and the pricing is super affordable.
Yeah.
And it's not that you're not getting great quality. I mean, that same steak you'll eat at the Saxon.
Yeah.
Or at the Westliff.
Yeah.
Or and you'll pay 7 times the price. So, you know, I think we figured out the reasons why we started the business is now actually really coming to fruition. You know, so it's that sort of thing. So
you're welcome, Dan.
So in a nutshell, that's why, you know, that's why
No, you're right. I remember, and we can put this in somehow, but I remember, what really annoyed us. And I remember going into, I won't name their name, but you know, you're paying for an 80 or 100 gram biltong, 450 rand a kilo. If you convert it to kilos.
Yeah.
The same with nuts. I remember, and it's still to this day, Dan, you know, people, I'm still annoyed with it because I think it's fooling people. They package and box it smart so that it looks super value.
Don't have the wool pulled over your eyes, okay? Don't have the woolies pulled over your eyes. Go into any of their shops and see how they package their meat. 800 gram packets.
Always.
Why?
Yeah, because they wanted to
because the perception is it's a kilogram. I'm buying. 100%. Okay, then you go to the competitor and you say, okay, but they price per 800 grams, but their price is $99.95.
Yeah.
Your price is 109. So you're much more expensive. Yeah, but you're getting 120 rand worth of versus the, and that is, well, that's retail, you know, and those are the tricks. Okay. So the pickup price is everything and obviously through time you learn these things. You say, okay, but listen, if I put 4 chops a bit thinner in a pack, the pickup price is going to be 100 rand.
Yeah.
So, okay, you know what? Now pricing goes up. So slice the chops a bit thinner and pack them in the same pack and people won't. But you see, there's a devil in the detail there. People aren't stupid.
No.
And what you quickly learn is, okay, you'll do that once. And then the oak gets home
and
he's got him and 4 mates there and he wanted to give each guy a chop, a piece of horse, and everyone's angry afterwards.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know what? I was just bedornered.
Yeah.
And he'll never come back. So, you know, but unfortunately that is retail and there's a lot of, tricks in it.
Yeah.
And certain, some of them are very good and some of them are really not. So it's how you work through it and how you understand it, you know.
So, I can't remember exactly what was the number when we started, but I remember, Dan, correct me if I'm, but 50 or 60+% was in meat is being distributed in the country still in independent butcheries. Is that still the case?
I think what happens is a lot of you think of a lot of wholesale and that goes through the wholesale and then into restaurants. I think there's still the biggest foothold of retail meat.
Meat is definitely still independent.
It's definitely still with the, with the,
with the big boys.
With the big boys. Okay. And with the big boys naming Checkers, Pick a Pay, Spa and all of that. Yeah. But one of the trends that we did, the reason one of the you said it, why are we going to, this needs to go to Joburg because, it's almost like a market disruptor in a way.
We
wanted to disrupt the market and say, go back to old school. It's so funny. If you think about it, okay, everything that's happening now, okay, let's take something very simple. Okay. I don't know if you noticed when you were at school, okay, people wore, our parents when in the '60s all wore bell bottoms. Okay. Then when we were about standard 7, standard 8, just like it, everyone wanted to cop a bell bottom.
And dangerines.
And it's funny.
What's the shoe?
Doc Martens or Buffaloes. So it's funny how things go like sort of 360. Okay. Where we are now, everyone's thinking, it's just online deliveries, and this is such new age, and it's such, all that has changed, okay, is the method of placing the order. That's all that's changed. What's actually happened is, we're just going back to what happened when we were at school. When I was at school, my mom phoned the butcher and said, on Friday we're having a braai, please bring us fillet, this, that, and funny enough, on a Friday, the oak will rock up with his bucky and we'll have our stuff, okay? Yeah. And then that disappeared.
You're right.
Okay, that disappeared. Okay, the milk deliveries. I mean, you had milk bottles delivered to your door every single house. Mm. It was not. And everyone's like, oh, look at Amazon. Look how special and look, take a lot. And fuck, man, this stuff was
stuff that gets 30 years off. Ago. Yeah, that needs to be coldly delivered.
Yes, coldly delivered
in thousands of packages.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so
that's interesting view.
So all that's happening now is technology is saying, okay, well, I can look at it on an app and I can choose now a few nice things, but essentially it's doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So the reason why we started this business was to say, okay, where the people used to buy the meat.
Yeah.
And what happened to that?
Yeah.
People, all the butcheries, or most of the butcheries died down. Okay. There was one or two select ones left and whatever,
but they were owned by big boys.
Yeah. In any case. So. Yeah. So the fact of it is that that's the gap that we saw. And we said, okay, listen, we want to hit that gap. Okay. But 7 years later, it's exactly what is happening is that everyone wants to buy from the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, your artisan guys.
Yep.
People are gutful of being one of 10,000. I want it customized. You know what? I want my chop 3 centimeters thick.
Yeah.
And I can't get it at Woolies.
Yeah.
And that is as simple as it is. Now we've launched our online business. Massive, massive success. But I'm saying to the guys, this is not new. Guys, it's not new. Don't fool yourselves. Everything is just going back to a previous day. So if you have an idea, think about these things. Think about what really worked 30 years ago.
Yeah.
People always say, look to the future. Well, yes.
Sometimes no.
But sometimes not. History, yeah. Look back. Look what was great and what's not there anymore. What was great and what's not there anymore. Yeah. And what can I do to bring it back? Because people are longing for those things. People are longing for old school thing. So when you've got an idea, test it a bit to that and say, okay, I don't always have to be a market disruptor by something brand new. Well, people are thinking George Beschel's is the best thing since sliced bread and this. But he's just doing what people were doing 30 years ago, just on a bit of a more structured basis and adding a few bells and whistles to it. But essentially, it's the same thing.
So here we are, Country Meat. Have a fantastic online offering, 2 locations, Linden and Fourways. You offer specialized cuts. So if you want to have anything specifically cut, because I'm one of those guys. I want my chops a certain way, Dan. Mm. That's why I still come back to the butchery and make sure that I get my chops that way. And, you know, you can find them also in the restaurant. So, you know, call to action for them to support it. The restaurant trade, which is obviously suffering at the moment. And if you allow me, Dan, just to have a moment myself, just to say thank you to everybody that supported us in the beginning.
you know, to spend that first money with an untrustworthy or an unknown. And for sticking 7 years later, when you said that, it just hit me. You know, a business always say 3 years. What's the 3 year cycle? Yeah,
5 years. Five or whatever, years. Yeah.
You're in the 7 year cycle, Dan. So also congratulations and also well done.
Thanks, man.
Well done for continuing the business, putting it in a great position at the moment. You can always open conversation with you if you need anything, want to discuss anything. And I think the biggest thing for us is, like we always said, and I remember it in the beginning, Oaks got kicked off. If you brought Checkers meat to a braai, you got kicked off the braaier. If that guy's, you do not use my calls for that meat. And I remember that. And I think that we're going into a time again where people want to understand where it comes from, who makes it, and that there's some story to the meat that we braai. Because it's such a big part of what we do, you know. And then when you speak about it and afterwards, I almost always nervous when the meat, you know, when you cook it, is it going to be enjoyed? Are people going to love it? Is it going to be soft? Is it going to be tender? Is the fat ratio going to be good? So it's such a big part of what we do, you know, and there's such a value chain. If you think about birth to slaughter, the amount of time and effort and people and hands and value that goes into that, then what, if you think about the support structure, so yes, when you buy a steak from Country Meat, you pick it up. But what you're not thinking about is the over 700 people at the moment that work in the group, the people in the logistical trucks, the people that does the packaging for us, Freddie Hurst that does the spicing for us. We have a value chain that we support. And if you take that value chain into consideration, when you pick up that piece of meat, you theoretically could support up to 6,000 people, depending on what ratio you use in the country, support versus income. So that's really what we want to try and highlight here, is that when we do conscious purchasing, understand what you're purchasing, where you're purchasing it from, but also be a bit more accommodating. And I'm not saying accept bad service or accept bad quality, but I remember one of the driving reasons for perishable meat or meat that we had to get rid of is because we had this pressure of filling the shelves. Mm. And that pressure came from consumers, because the perception was that if the shelves aren't full, the business isn't doing well, or the meat is slow, or whatever that might be. So I'm saying that it's time for consumers to be a bit more conscious, you know, in what they purchase and what they ask for. You know, I had a saying, Dan, I won't put this onto your existing customers, where a customer would hold me in the office, in the butchery, for a half an hour about where does the meat come from, where do they eat, and then they buy McDonald's on the way home. You know, and we want to try and raise a bit more consciousness, but also have a bit more compassion towards businesses in the country. You know, a restaurant at the moment that, for instance, is 10 minutes late with your burger. Of what they're going through at the moment, they're running with less staff, less supported, and then, you know, not to go and write them 1 out of 5, you know, because they got 10 minutes late with your order. I think that's the compassion that I say. We still need to hold each other accountable, but I think we just need to have a bit more consciousness and compassion in what we do to one another.
No, definitely. A big point there is that people need to pull the finger out of their arse a bit. And it's hard in a way for certain people to do. But, you know, I saw a different side to it when those 4 days before lockdown, when people were panic buying.
Yeah.
And I said to the guys at the stage, you know, I wish business could be like this, in the sense of there was not one complaint. There wasn't one thing. Oh, you haven't got a loin chop. Okay, well, take the shoulder chop then.
Yeah.
You know, because what happens is we waste, as a world, we waste so much through that behavior. Okay.
Completely.
So everyone wants the loin chops. Okay. That's why the loin chops are priced a lot more, because everyone wants the damn loin chop.
Supply and demand.
Supply and demand. But we spoke about balancing earlier. If you don't sell the whole animal, you don't. Okay. So pricing in a butchery is all dependent on certain cuts people want more, certain cuts people want less. The meat is the same animal. There's no difference there.
Yeah.
So, okay, certain cuts might be softer than others. Okay, there's a lot of that goes into it.
There's a way to prepare it and cook it.
But there is. So I think if people can just get past themselves, okay, they can actually save money, firstly, by buying down a bit.
Yeah.
Okay. And they can be a bit adventurous by trying different things and trying different methods of cooking. But it was just so nice for us for that 4 days that we had, not to be so super stressed that we don't have enough loin chops. Because what happens is now you buy more lambs, okay? Mm. Then you break those lambs. Mm. Then you can't move all that product.
And like 10% of the whole carcass is loin.
Yes. And then you can't move all that rest of the product, okay? Yeah. Then what inevitably happens is you throw away.
Yes.
Okay, that's what happens. No, you throw away. Yeah. And what inevitably happens is now the next ones you have to price up a bit more because you have to make up for your losses, okay? Yeah. But the whole thing is around people are just – they want what they want, and it's all about them. It's like – and for once, it seemed – even though it was all about them, it seemed to us as it wasn't, as it for once, it was just great.
Yeah.
It was just great. And if we could run our business like that, we can most probably cut our prices by 10%.
Yeah.
If people start learning to consume differently, we can cut our prices. We can be better to the earth. We can feed more people. Yeah. We can, but it all starts with individuals. It starts with people realizing, okay, but hold on, I'm not that super important. And maybe I must just change my behavior slightly to accommodate the next person.
I'll tell you, I know we've got long, so I'll finish on this from my side, but with, if you take a lamb and then you take, you've got the loin chops, you've got the rib chops, which is your two premium ones. But what we did was we made a slow cooker, with the balance of the chops, you know, the shoulder chops and what do you call it, Dan?
Yeah, the chump chops and the leg chops and the, yeah.
But here's the thing. So one, it was a lot more cost effective. But two, we ate for 3 days. Because it's effort to put it into a pot that's, let's say, 4 to 6 hours. Make bulk.
You make more.
And now you eat it on a sandwich 3 days later. You know, and to me, that's the consciousness that I want everybody to go into. You know, and it's the same year, you know, instead of buying a coffee every single day and then wasting that packaging and all of that. And then one, you've got compassion that there's people behind that brands and that's working there, but fill up your flask.
Yeah, but I think people have come around big time. I think it took something like this whole virus thing to make us think differently. You know, to give you an idea, okay, two patties at the moment, 250-gram patties, beautiful patties, 33 rand, okay? So it's 16 rand a patty, okay? A bun, let's call it 2.50 rand, okay? A bit of tomatoes, okay? So the cost of a burger, I mean a gourmet, brilliant, best ingredients you can buy. Under 20 rand.
Under 20
bucks. Under 20 bucks, okay? Now you do that for a family of five, so you're talking 100 bucks, okay? Now you order in.
Oh, delivery is 100 bucks.
Delivery is 100 bucks. You order five burgers, you're looking at 500 bucks. Now you're looking at 600 bucks.
Yeah.
Okay. Versus 100. Okay. And
plus the bun, you don't know what's in the bun. Yeah. Plus you don't know what's in the patty.
So all of those things. And I think people have learned through this whole lockdown, everyone has become a chef.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's ever been as much chefs in the world as currently.
Chefs and alcohol makers.
Yeah. Chefs and, yeah. So I think, people have come a long way, and I'm not saying don't eat at a restaurant. I'm not saying, but they should be treats. It should be, you know, it shouldn't be, you shouldn't be eating that stuff all the time. It's not good for you. It's not good for anyone to eat all the time. I mean, now and again is great.
Yeah.
But just like that, support the small business. It is very important. It is very important to know your community. The money that you spend in your community stays in your community.
Yeah.
Money that you start spending.
And it's immediate impact.
And it's immediate impact. Okay. And when you start buying, buy consciously.
Yeah.
The brands that you buy consciously. There are great South African brands. Mm. They are great. I mean, I know you guys do work with Lasher. I bought a Spade and it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal quality. Yeah. But the fact of it being is the nice thing is that money goes into South Africa.
Yeah.
It doesn't go into China.
No.
It doesn't go into the States.
Taxes.
And once we all start thinking like that and and it starts in your neighborhood. It starts what's around you, what's directly around you.
Yes.
What's the impact of directly? Because if you buy fruit in a Woolies or wherever, I'm not gunning Woolies now, but if you buy, if it's out of season and you're buying something, you have to say to yourself, well, listen, where's this stuff coming from? Rather, And I know that's what I'm talking about earlier. We want the loin chop. That's what we want. Mm. That's all about us. Mm. But no, okay. Think about it. You're buying a strawberry. It's not strawberry time. Where's this thing coming from?
Yeah.
Go and look. Okay, this thing is imported. Okay, now follow that chain. Okay, follow the money. Where's the money going to?
Yeah. No, no, for sure.
And if we start being more conscious on that level, we will make a difference. Yeah. It's as easy as it is. It's as easy as it is. We've got enough money in the country. We just have to be conscious.
I said to somebody the other day, one buyer can change a factory. And somebody looked at me and I said, in Walmart right now, in Checkers, in Pick and Pay, Woolworths, with any of these big chains, there's a buyer that's got 500 million rand to spend. Where is he spending it? And he chooses to spend that money. If he chooses to spend that money with a local company, tomorrow, he pays today, tomorrow morning, the impact's immediate. They have to gear up. They have to get this. We have to get that money. Is all it, the other way to me, it's a product with a markup and then the money flies over. Yes. That's it. And the footprints between those two. And that's why I say the more action we speak about this, but then at the same time, I don't ask for emotional support, Dan.
No.
I say merit. And that's what we try and do here is because there's a lot of posts at the moment, support local. And I hear all of that. I mean, you don't have to convince this man. I've been saying that for 13 years. But what I'm also saying is step up, SA companies, be global standards. Make sure your after-sale care is incredible. You know, 70% of complaints in this country for 2 years was defect product and after-sale care. That's where our country became towards. And now when you speak about that product, it's defect, shitty products that's part of that complaint sector. Mm. Because where was it before that? It's because all of a sudden the buyers are now going further down the value chain on cheapening us. Mm. And they're cheapening us. You know, and then on top of it, those products carry no value afterwards, has no recyclable components. I can carry on just like you. But I think for us, it was a very big privilege, Dan, for you to be here this morning, afternoon, and it, I didn't even realize I was still speaking in us. Mm. But I think that's what you say. It's a type of business that we've built that we allow to still sit in here and still talk to each other, you know, and that country meet will forever be part of my blood. I think it's just the way we started it between the friends that it will never leave my blood. And thank you very much. And for everybody that supported us in the beginning and still does today, I'm really grateful for that. And I wanted to just note that personally.
No, thank you. Thanks, Tammy.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah.
For you, eh?
You two were just going at it for so long.
Yeah.
That was good. Thanks, Dan.
No, thanks a lot. Appreciate your time. Thanks.